The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
It's a Monday morning. I'm joined by the Queen of Crypto, the Duchess of the Chart. It's the Nicola the Duke. You're right, Nicola.
Hello, yes, I'm fine, thanks.
I sent out a tweet today, a little poll, and I don't know how it went, actually. I can't think where it went now. I'll scroll down, but essentially, the market's in super bullish territory, which to me, sometimes, it's a bit of a worry, you know? Because when everyone is bullish, it's a contrarian factor, isn't it? So here we are, listen to this. Asian shares hit historic highs today after Wall Street extended its record-breaking run on Friday. The S&P 500 and the Nasdaq scored 8 record closing highs out of the first 9 trading days of 2018, while the Dow has hit the 6th closing high of the year. And I said, what's your thoughts? And I'm bullish, I'm bearish. And so most people have gone with the bullish stuff, right? But I just think sometimes it's a contrarian factor, isn't it? You know?
Definitely. Definitely, yeah.
So the results here so far are 69% bullish, 31% bearish. But, you know, it can be quite a worry.
Yeah, when it gets up there, then it usually means there's a correction coming.
Yeah.
But, you know, these stocks have been bullish for so long, they can keep going in that direction. Which what you see is what happens when you see that little off tick off it, when that slight shake of confidence, mm-hmm. and then there's a rush for the exits
before we
get going again.
Yes, yeah. But do you know what? A quick thing on cryptocurrencies. I do quite like... do you know what? My first foray into cryptos, I just got fizzled out. I got too much stuff going on AIM, looking at AIM, and I just lost interest a bit. I'm back into it now. I've got to have a strategy, and I found a little strategy, and I quite like it, and I don't know if it's going to work.
You like the ICOs as well, don't you?
Yeah, that's what I like.
The initial coin offerings.
Well, the thing is, I started investing in stocks and shares on bigger market cap companies, you know, and you can't expect massive returns on there. You can do better than, you know, your average bank account, or better than that if you do well. But then I moved down to the market cap towards micro caps. That's where you can get, you know, earn plenty of money, proper money, you know. Literally, you can, if you do it well, you can get rich in several years.
If you have a good strategy, I think definitely you can.
Now, with ICOs, the same kind of thing. I put a bit of money into really big market cap ones, you know, cryptos, and I'm thinking, hang on a sec, what's the potential of these? Okay, you've got Bitcoin, this went from being bigger to bigger, bigger. But other ones, I just think, again, you've got to go for smaller cap companies, and the potential is there, but they've got to be decent companies again with a project that you think is going to, you know, has legs, you know? I'm not just in it for a trade for 10, 20%. I want to get in something that could be the next Amazon or Google, you know? And so the only way to do that is put your seed in lots of these little things, and hopefully they'll work. But they've got to be sort of have a decent board. And this is why I like this. There's two websites. One is called ICOMarks.com, and the other one's, what's the other one called? But they give marks out of 10, and they go through the management of all these companies and what they're doing. A very detailed breakdown of all these ICOs.
Do you know, that's the hardest thing, because there's so much research that you need to do.
Yeah.
I tend to like infrastructure ones that are making blockchain work better or go faster. Because I think that's one of the drawbacks with Bitcoin at the moment.
Yeah, well, a lot of them are doing the same kind of thing, though, you know? Just creating a blockchain.
Right.
And you think, that's rubbish.
Yeah. But then you look at who they've got on board and what they're doing. Like, if they've got proven engineers who've done great stuff before, or team people.
Yeah. No. I mean, a lot of them, they don't have a particular project that's compelling, you know? They do the same thing. They're like, I'm creating a sharing sort of blockchain platform for a currency. Yeah, they're all doing that. It's got to have some kind of project there that's compelling, you know? That you think, oh, that's interesting. And then you look at the management then, and that's what I like. And so, again, when I look at small cap companies, I do look at investing in small cap companies that could go on to be mid-tier companies, you know? They've got the potential, not just a flash in the pan trade. I like something that could be bigger. Anyway, let's look at some companies who released some news today.
And,
and one of the, do you know, one of those companies actually I'm talking about on a strategy is I'm investing, and we're talking about today, is Vesarion. We won't get that first, but we'll talk about that in a bit. But
and we're not talking about Carillion.
No, Carillion. Yeah, we talked about that a long time. So some people, it's like, you know, you've got to look at companies. And that company had debt was like quadruple or three times its market cap, its value of the company. Now, when you're in that kind of situation, that's a massively dangerous area to, and that's odds against. If you're investing in that company, it's an odds against investment. That means if it works out, yes, you'd have, you know, 5-6 times your money maybe quickly, but the odds are against you doing that. It's like betting on a horse. So there are better plays, recovery plays out there, and safer recovery plays. Let's start with the Phalanx Group, FLX. But it's a bad situation, that, Carillion. It'll take out a lot of subcontractors, a lot of businesses that rely on that, you know, Carillion, that will go through as well. It's just an awful situation.
I sort of feel like Carillion was one of the companies that should have failed in 2008. But when we bailed out the financial system and we lowered rates to zero, we allowed a lot of zombie banks and zombie companies with far too much debt to stay in business.
Yeah.
And we didn't have that clean out where new businesses could have come along and taken it over. Mm. You know, it's a complete mammoth of a company. It's far too big. Like, I think that this, although it's painful, will be a good thing. We'll see newer, smaller, faster, better companies come along to take its place.
But also, there's got to be an inquiry. And I retweeted something today saying the government got to look, because the government was the biggest customer. And they must have known a long time ago this was a massive trouble. But they kept giving them contracts to keep them afloat, sort of thing. And I'm thinking, well, was that the best thing to do? Or, you know, so they've sorted something out there. But, it's a huge year. Anyway, let's look at so Phalanx Group.
Phalanx.
They've won a contract and they've changed their board today. They're in cybersecurity. What do you reckon on FLX?
So Phalanx have been in a downtrend since last summer. What we're looking for, ideally, when you see a downtrend, you're looking for kind of two equal swings lower, two equal legs lower. That's bullish. And that's exactly what Phalanx have done. So the first swing for the drop from May 2017 to the lows in August is equal to the drops we've seen from October, and then we double bottomed. So that's a perfect double bottom. So now we're looking for a bullish reversal and another leg higher. You can see that since we have made that last drop in November, we haven't been able to get above the daily 50 moving average. We tried it at the start of January on the 2nd. If we can close above, we're just turning higher again. If we can close above that daily 50 moving average, which is at 5.2, then that will be your first sign that we're going higher. Then we should go to 6.6, which is the 200-day moving average and the lows from October. And then above 7.25 for me is a bullish breakout. My target for this one, I really do like this bullish pattern. My target for this one is 11.75 to 12, between 11.75 and 12. So say 12.
Yeah. Do you know what? I was just listening to Radio 5 Live. There's a guy reporting from Liverpool, and that's where Carillion had a big contract with a hospital there. It's got a massive contract. And he was just standing outside Greg's, and he talked to one of the managers. He said, normally, this time of day, we'd have now a queue of people from working from the site there, queuing up for food. And he said, we got no in today. And so that's just even that small.
A lot of businesses are hurt. Yeah,
a knock-on effect of a big company being taken out like that, you know, it's not a good thing. Greatland Gold, one of the biggest fallers today. They had a project with Newmont involved, a big company, but apparently the discussions have ended, and not in a good way. And so Greatland Gold, you can see the drop there. Can you see the drop, massive drop today?
Massive drop.
58%, I think, is what last looked, yeah.
Where has it dropped to, though? It's dropped to the 1.272 Fib extension of the rally that we made from November. It's dropped to the 200-day moving average. That's exactly where the price is right now on the two, I think it's... Yeah, we're bouncing off the 200-day moving average and the highs from June of 2017. So really good support at 900, 905. If we can close above... I'm going to say 950 today, I think that we should see a bigger bounce than people are expecting, and at least probably back to 1.6, maybe to fill the gap.
Lovely stuff, Nicola. And next one is just a request for Strat Aero. And I did mention on the weekend podcast, I've taken a bit of a punt here. There's a turnaround story happening here. Like I said, they're always quite risky turnaround stories, but there's been a change of board. Trevor Brown is a well-known sort of investor guy. He's put about 300 grand worth of money into there, and there is something going on, and so it's you know, it's a tiny market cap. What do you reckon on Aero, Nick? A-E-R-O.
Yeah, Friday we tested the 200-day moving average and failed and closed above. And we can't seem to get above the December highs at the moment, and that's at 0.7. But if we're looking for a confirmation that we are going higher, then a close above this 200-day moving average at 0.64 will do it for me. Then I think we see a decent move higher. Until then, we're kind of capped by it, and it's a little bit difficult. I think that, though, if this can get going, I have really big upside targets for this one, like... Yeah, far too far away. Let's look for some low ones. I think that we should go at least to 0.312. But long term, this should go to 2.2.
Okay, all right. Lovely.
Believe
stuff.
It or not. I know. But this, look how long we've been underneath this 200 moving average, like forever. Years, and now here we are testing it today. I think we'll see a big move if we get back above it.
Cool. All right. Yes, there's always an if there, of course. I mean, as for certain conditions have to be filled, and a condition filled by Vassaran today, VRS, is they've sort of signed a letter of intent with a district in China. And they're talking very high up. In fact, the guy they're talking to was one down from the president, Xi Jinping. And they're going to be setting up a graphene manufacturing unit there, 100,000 square foot factory. And also, if that goes well, looking up, opening a graphene sort of valley. Like they're likening it to, Silicon Valley in America. But the Chinese are very massive on graphene. And Vassaran is at the centre of this. And this is off the back of several other collaborations and agreements Vassaran have done in the last few weeks. So Neil's on the podcast later. But this is a really exciting move for Vassaran. And it puts them at the head of the pack. And as if they weren't anyway, of graphene, they are now, I think, truly placed at the head of the pack of the graphene in revolution is going to happen. What do you reckon, Nick, on the chart?
Well, here we are. We're at 93. You know, we're approaching 100. I think we're about to see that phenomenon where they're called $100 roll. And $100 roll is where, you know, people take profits when you get to big round number 100, and it produces a lot of liquidity and will shoot through. So although I think, so there is going to be big round number resistance around 100, but my next upside fib level is 108. I think we blast through the 100 number, 108, and potentially 125, this stock. We're in a wave five. They can extend quite a long way.
All right. Yeah, but you know what? I know it's come up quite a lot today, and the market cap now, let's look at the company, is, it's past 100 million, 127 million market cap. But this is, it really is, I don't understand, people understand the potential of this deal. The Chinese reckon they're going to spend 200 billion on graphene, in the next few years, and they really want to put it in everything because they really see the potential of it. So, and they're, like I said, little Vassaran, it was, are in the centre of it. And I'm happy to say I bought these at 14 pence. And it's one of those things where, it's one of those things where you put your money in, if it doubles, take your stake out and let it run, and I want it, and this is becoming, is heading towards mid-tier company, will be, if it carry on the way it's been going. So this is my strategy playing out. Perfectly,
and so we're not far off a 10-bagger for you then.
Yeah,
exactly. Won't be long.
Lovely stuff, Nicola. Thank you for that. By the way, if you want to see the video of this, you can see it on the blog, which is voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. How's your tattoo coming along? Tattoo off the weekend?
No tattoo for me. No.
I know what you're doing. You just keep it a secret until you get the whole thing done.
Then I'm going to do the big reveal.
The big back tat reveal of the crypto queen on the back. Lovely, okay. Nicola. Speak tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.